Well, there will, if I spend the times of what God has done in my life during Okinawa, we probably would be here for another hour, 2 hours, maybe stay till midnight to share what God has done. And I don't have that much time to do it. Just knowing what God has done to just prepare my life, ever since that I've gotten saved at the age of 14, I was kind of living a life of just doing what I want to do, other than the fact I'm going to church with my mom every Sunday, my mom and dad every Sunday, and then outside of my life. If I wasn't saved, or even if I did not surrender to my life to the Lord, and I was just thinking about it the last couple of months, I probably might be going to church right now, but I'd probably be at home playing video games all day, because that's the life that, you know, I just live. So I thank God for the salvation and God leading my life just to be able to serve an opportunity overseas in a beautiful island in Okinawa. If anyone asks you what is Okinawa like, think of it as it is Hawaii in Japan, a small island in Hawaii of Japan. So just give you a brief testimony of just the arrival when I went to Okinawa in August 2017. I knew that it was going to be an adventure for me. I knew I was going to be there a long period of time, the longest time that I'm away from my parents and from my family. In fact, it was the first time ever when Christmas came that I celebrated Christmas away from my family. Even in college and grad school, as busy I was still home with my family on Christmas. But I was in Okinawa on the other side of the world celebrating Christmas away from my family. But just having the peace when I was in the airport in Naha in Okinawa and just waiting for my luggage and seeing my principal and my intern pastor at that time, I just had the peace knowing that I knew that God wants me to be there at the right time. As much as I love being here and I enjoy being here and maybe I could teach here next school year, I know God has a plan for me to go back there for another year and to see wherever the Lord leading. And meanwhile, I'm excited to see what God will do through you with the ministry and with the Christian Academy. And right, Thomas? Yeah, I see a graduating senior right there this year, so I'm just picking on him a little bit. All right, so I want to turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 4, verses 18 and 19. Matthew chapter 4, 18 and 19. And I just want to let you know, I am really ecstatic, excited to going back. I don't feel like I'm going to miss you all for sure, but I'm really excited just to go back for another year to see what God is going to do. So as you turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, I would like you to stand to read God's word. We're going to be covering in Luke chapter 5 for the message, but I want to start off with just the Matthew 4 passage. So starting in verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishers, and he saith unto him," can you read the next words? "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word again. It is a privilege and honor, and I thank you for your grace and mercy and your ability through me that you would use me to preach God's word. I ask that you would just give me the words to say, help me to be clear and articulate in what I say, and help the people that are here. I thank you so much for them being here. And I ask that you would bless them and help them to cast out any distractions in their minds as they get ready to hear your word and then apply to their lives personally and corporately as a local church here in Ocean County Baptist Church. Thank you for loving us through Jesus Christ and help us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now you can turn to your Bible to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Warren Wiersbe wrote in his commentary concerning Luke, how he called four fishermen to follow him. Jesus enlisted Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him into full-time discipleship. Wiersbe discussed the general qualities for the fishermen that would make them successful for serving the Lord. So if you are a fisherman of any sorts of catching fish, well, there are some good qualities for you. First of all, it takes a courage, risk, patience, and determination to work on the seas. It also takes a great deal of faith. It also takes teamwork to accomplish their task. They have to develop their skills quickly in order to get the job done. And also that these people are determined to do the work, and these fishermen as a whole are not the people that would quit. So when you're in a ministry or whatever you do in your job, even if it's hard, do not quit. Now, you may not be a fisherman like me. I went to fishing one time with Mr. Z and his son Johnny back in Memorial Day weekend a couple of years ago. And I've caught two small fishes. But the extent of that, I haven't done much. But it's okay if you're not a fisherman. Now, you may not be a fisherman, but my question is this for you, and this is the title of the message. Will you follow Christ? Will you follow Christ? The fact that you are here on the Sunday evening service shows me that you have a dedication just to want to hear God's word, just to want to be with here, be with other believers. But now a personal question is going a step further. Will you follow Christ? It doesn't matter who you are. You could be a homeschool student, a Christian school student, a public school student. You could be a college student. You could be a worker at BMI. You could be a teacher, a businessman, a nurse, a janitor. You could even be retired. And you could be even serving the Lord in full-time ministry, like a pastor or a missionary, and etc. My question is for every one of you is simply this. Will you follow Christ? What does God require Christians in order to follow Christ? Now, the key word is does. What does God require Christians to have in order to follow Christ? And I want to share with you four prerequisites to follow Christ, and we're going to use the word, the acrostic does, D-O-E-S. The first one is God's desire. God's desire. It is God's desire for you to follow Christ. Now, this prerequisite is very simple. Everyone can have this request because God desires all of you to follow him. Look with me in Luke chapter 5, if you're not there already, and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Just want to stop there. At the time after Jesus Christ, at this point, was performing many miracles, casting out devils, healing the sick. He preached right before in verse 43 in Luke chapter number 4 that I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. Right before, as he's ready to call out the first few men to be his disciples, he goes on and the people pressed, meaning they were seeking urgently, pressuring him that they would follow him to hear God's word. I thank God for every one of you that you're here, and I hope that you came to hear God's word. Whoever is speaking, whether it's Pastor Weigel, Pastor Duana, Pastor Peter Vicente, or anyone that is preaching in the pulpit, the key thing you need to know is that you are here for God to speak through you to learn from his word. The people desired to follow God, and they want to hear him. But not only I look at the people, but I also look at the fishermen. Just want to read. I'll start in verse 1 again just to catch up. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed or asked request him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So imagine we'll use Mr. Z's boat, his small boat. Jesus is going to Mr. Z and say, Mr. Z, I need to use your boat. I want to sit down and move the boat a little bit offshore. So he gets on the boat. Mr. Z would move the boat offshore, and then the people were following Jesus, and here Jesus is just sitting on the boat, and everyone and the people on the shore were there, and Jesus taught the scriptures to them. Now the people, again, pressed on them, seeked urgently for God. But the fishermen, I don't see in the scripture they were necessarily seeking after God. They were necessarily seeking after Jesus to hear his word. But what I see is that although they did not come to Jesus to seek him, Jesus came to seek them. The fact of the matter is that even if you're here and you're just here just to be here in another church service and you're not necessarily here to seek after God, or you're just here because you have to be here, someone forced you to be here, or I gotta be here, God is seeking you anyway to seek him anyway. Because he is going to do something great through you if you let him to use you, just like he's going to do something with these fishermen. These fishermen, what they're doing is they're just washing their nets, hanging down their nets. They spent all night trying to catch fish, and they could not even catch a single fish. So they just put the nets down, and they were just done for the day, maybe getting ready to go on the next day to catch a fish. But Jesus came and sit on Simon Peter's boat to teach the word of God. Jesus could have sat in a big boat. He could have sat in a cruise. He could have sat on something else. But instead, he just sat in just a normal fisherman boat, a small boat, to teach the scripture. A simple lesson that we can learn is that your first prerequisite to follow Christ is that it's God's desire for you to follow Christ, is that he wants you to. So you already met the first prerequisite because God has already fulfilled the requisite for you. God wants you to follow Christ. If he did not want you to follow Christ, you probably could be saved and then he could have taken you up to heaven right away. But the fact that you are still here, you are still alive, and doesn't matter what stage you are at, whether you are following after God or you're living in sin as a Christian, you're still here, meaning that God is ready to use you, and he wants to use you and do something great. So the first prerequisite is to follow Christ, first prerequisite to follow Christ is God's desire. The second one, which is the letter O, is your obedience. Your obedience. Look with me in verse number 4. Now when he, Jesus, had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, meaning for catching. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Here, Jesus is commanding Simon Peter and the fishermen to go out into the deep waters, and let down the net. Now, this was during the daytime. I'm sure the disciples were, or not disciples, but the fishermen were discouraged because they tried to catch fish in the nighttime and they could not catch anything. And here this non-experienced fisherman, but a carpenter, is asking an experienced fisherman just to drop down the net. Simon had doubt. He told him, Master, we have toiled. We have labored in vain all night, spending hours to catch fishes, and we could not even catch a single one. Simon Peter could have said, No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be able to catch any fish. Although I'm sure that the fishermen had huge doubts in their mind and in their hearts, they choose to obey. Anyway, at the end of the verse 5, he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Even though Peter had doubts, Peter chose to believe Christ, chose to obey his word, and he dropped down the net. And then look what happens in verse 6 and 7. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Hundreds of fishes, probably even thousands of fishes. And their net broke. And they beckoned, meaning they nod, they try to make the signs unto their partners. They're like, hey guys, hey, we got this heavy load of fishes. We don't know what to do with it. Help us, please. Imagine like they might have a sign that says the word H-E-L-P, exclamation point. They needed help. So, and they beckoned unto the partners, which were in the other ship, and they that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So you can imagine this net. Like if, let's say, we look at the chairs as an illustration. Can you hear me back here? Okay, let's say that this is one boat. These three chairs are another boat. Here they have a net of fishes. And imagine that the net covered both of these boats together, next to each other. And it was so big, the fishes were so heavy that the boats began to sink. That is God's blessing for Simon Peter and the other fishermen to just simply drop down the net and God bless them. When God calls you to do something, even when it seems illogical, it doesn't make sense, you don't want to do it, and you do it anyway, he will bless you beyond measure. And you can tell that the blessing, it could not just come from your just hard work. It just came from the Lord. These fishermen toiled all night, hours, trying to do it in their own strength to catch fishes, and they could not catch a single one. But Jesus was there on the boat with them, and he just told them to drop their net, and then now they catch so many fish that they don't know what to do with them. God wants you to obey. If God is calling you to something, maybe he's calling you to say, simple as, you see that person over there, and you say, hey, this person needs the gospel. Yes, he may not be interested. He may not be a Christian. He may not believe in God. He may be rude. But just go to him and just share the gospel. God wants you to take that step of faith to obey. Maybe there's not too many young people, but maybe as a young people, maybe God is calling you to go to a Christian college, going away from home, and then go there. Maybe if God wants you to go there, go, even though you don't want to. If God is calling you to full-time ministry and you know he is pounding on your heart, it's not me telling you, but it's pounding on your heart for weeks, months, even years, and it doesn't matter what age you are, then go and obey. Because until you obey, the blessing is going to be withheld from you. By the time that you do obey, he will bless you. I thank God when I chose to take the first step of faith to go to Pensacola Christian College back in 2008, which is now almost 10 years ago. Time flies very quickly. I'm very thankful that I took a step of faith on going there, because going to the college itself through just the preaching in chapel and the church service and being with other believers, especially coming from a public school background where I didn't really have that many friends, Christian friends, God used that college to help me to grow, learning God's word, studying God's word, praying and fellowshipping with other believers, and even eventually teaching and preaching God's word. I thank God for me surrendering to full-time ministry as I studied in youth ministry. Even though I feel overwhelmed at doing certain tasks like speaking in front of people like I'm doing right now, preaching God's word, teaching God's word, and now teaching in a Christian school, I'm very thankful that God has used me and I took a step of obedience and I've seen the many blessings that come forward. And I want to encourage you, is God is calling you to do something or to go somewhere. Even try to go with a mission trip. Maybe go to a mission trip with me to El Salvador next year. If God is pressing your heart to do that, if that's an opportunity to go, just come to me and just go and see that God is blessed with you. I know that Laura Lee, Mrs. Willis, and Thomas, I'm sure they all three can say when they went to me in Panama a month and a half ago that they have been blessed a lot and they've really enjoyed it. And hopefully this will not be their last mission trip to go. There will be another one that will come in the near future. So, God wants you to follow Christ. What does God want from you in order for you to follow Christ? First, it is God's desire. Second, it is your obedience. Third, it is your emptiness, the letter E. Now, I could think of emptiness as in maybe in humility or repentance, but I'm just thinking of emptiness because you realize that you have nothing. You want to empty yourself. If you try to do in your own strength or go in your own power or rely on your own talents, without Christ, you have nothing. And Peter realized that after he saw what Jesus had done with the huge load of fishes. Look with me in verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So Peter expressed his humility, his repentance, his emptiness before Jesus Christ. Why? Or how? First, he went down on his knees. When is the last time that you went to God in your knees? Whether it's on the altar here, whether it's in your bedroom, or whether it's in some quiet place that you're on your knees, physically humbling yourself before God and knowing that who he is and what he does and what he can do and how little you are before him. Not only that he went to his knees, he repented. He said these words, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He knew that God is perfect. He knew Jesus is holy. He knew that Jesus is the one that can bring great success. And he knew himself that he's a sinner. He knew himself that he's no good. He knew himself that here's Jesus, who's, as we know, he's not an experienced fisherman, catches a multitude of fishes, and then we see Peter, the experienced fisherman, as well as the other three fishermen that were with him, and they cannot even catch a single fish. If you try to do things without Christ, you can do nothing. There's a verse in John 15:5 that Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot do anything. It doesn't mean you're just like a a vegetable, meaning that you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't walk, you can't run, you can't talk. But it also means, it means more than that. It means that you can do things, and everything that you do without Christ is nothing. Everything that you do, everything that you say, whether it's in your job, with your family, or even in ministry, if you try to do it without Christ, you can do nothing. The fact that Jimmy, Mike Majanovic, and my mom went this past Tuesday, was it? And they were able to lead 10 people to Christ, which is awesome, just showing that this is a sign that God has given to us, that there is still hope, that people is receptive to hear the gospel. 10 people getting saved. If they try to do it without Christ, this would not happen. Because if you try to do it in your strength, it would be go nothing. He went on his knees, he repented, realized that he himself is a failure. I can tell you right now, I look back in my life, And even this past year, that there are many times that I have failed. I have failed God in maybe not spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, maybe falling to temptation, whatever it may be. And I believe every single one of us, we can say, looking at this past year, that we have all have failed God at times. We are a failure. But when you admit that you are a failure, that you have failed, and then you go to God and repent and humble yourself, it is then that God can lift you up. God giveth grace to the humble. We can go to God if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My God has really put me down, having little experience of teaching, other than teaching here for 2 years. This past year, this was my first year that I had to teach every subject. I had to make bulletin boards. I see other teachers that are experienced of it. After their second day, their doors and their bulletin boards were almost done, and I look at my classroom, and I haven't even started my bulletin boards or my door. And I'm like, why am I here? This is a mistake. I was tempted to say this was a mistake, but I knew that if God is calling me to be there and nothing impossible with Him, I was confident that with the help of the other fellow teachers and with God's wisdom and God's leading, that I'll be able to design my bulletin boards and my door and to get through the school year. And praise the Lord, the bulletin boards and the door and the school year went well, at least well enough that I can go back the next school year. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You may know the song Jonathan Hamilton wrote, I think, "For when I'm weak, you are strong." It's through your weakness. It's through the time where you feel like you cannot do anything. That is the time that you know that God is going to do great through you throughout that day. You may go through a day, if you're a teacher like me, and I go in the morning and I'm be like, I have no idea how this day is going to go. I don't know my students. I don't know if they're going to pay attention or be able to follow. I don't know what I'm going to do to lead the classroom. But every day without fail, I've seen God's grace has given me a great day, and usually a greater day than some of my other days. And then I look back when the day is done. I look back, is that God did it all. I didn't really do anything. I just did the best that I could. But God did it all, and He used it through me. Teachers, thank you for your labor of love, your hard work, and your sacrifice of your life. And I have learned that really well when I first became a teacher here in Ocean County Christian Academy. The four prerequisites to follow Christ. If you want to follow Christ, remember God's desire. Remember your obedience. He wants your emptiness. The last one is the letter S. He wants your surrender. He wants your surrender. If you have the red words in your Bible, look at verse 10, starting with the red words. Jesus now is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought up their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. God wants you to surrender your life. I think there is a difficulty of why there's a mediocrity of Christians, that many Christians are not surrendering their lives. It's one thing that you can say that, yes, God, I will follow you. I will surrender all that I have. It's another thing that you actually take the step of faith and actually do it. For them, they brought the ship into land and they forsook all. What did they forsake? Well, they forsook the ship. They forsook their fishes. As far as I know, I don't think the scriptures say that they ate their fishes or took anything with them. I can't imagine the disciples are hanging heavy this big load of fishes and carried with them. They probably just leapt by the ships and just move forward. because God has a purpose for them to catch men for Christ. They left their job, their occupation as fishermen. It may be a case where God may call you to leave your job, like Pastor Weigel did when Pastor was called to full-time ministry. He left his job to go to Bible college. He left their family, and they left their home. As you know me, I hope that I'm a testimony to you all that I left everything I have here. I left my job. I left my home. I left my mom and dad. And I'm very thankful to have parents that are supportive for me, that they're actually excited for me to go back. My mom and dad has been a huge blessing for me, just that they are excited for me to go back because they know that God wants me to be at that place and that the place that God wants to go. But unfortunately, I think many other parents, and I don't want to say this in a judgmental way, let's take this into heart. Many other parents are just worried about their children, letting them go to college, letting go of their ministry because they don't know what happens they're going to do. They may not make a lot of money. They may be in a trouble situation. They may end up even losing his life. But I want to encourage you, God is faithful. God will get you through. He gave me many great blessings this past year, and I'm excited what he will do in the future. If you have a child, a son or a daughter, that God is calling them to be in full-time ministry or in the mission field, pray for them, encourage them, support them, because we know that there are more laborers. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are plentiful. You know, God is just calling me. He's not just calling me and Anthony and a few other people to just the mission field, whether it's here in the States or overseas. He's calling every one of us to go into the mission field to some capacity. Jesus can use you. He's calling you to do the impossible because you're doing it through him. They forsook all they have, and they chose to follow you. I want to share with you, and I want to close this message, and I want to read through a life of a missionary that I have heard from college a few times, that they use it as an illustration. And maybe a few of you may have heard about it. Now, this man, his name was William Borden. So I want to just read through this article about his life. In 1904, William Borden graduated from Chicago High School. As heir to the Borden family fortune, he was already wealthy. Basically, his father owned a huge business. He is known as a millionaire. William Borden has the inheritance to become a millionaire to take his father's business. For his high school graduation present, his parents gave 16-year-old Borden a trip around the world. As the young man traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe, he felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. Finally, Bill Borden wrote home about his desire to be a missionary. One friend expressed disbelief that Bill was throwing himself away as a missionary. The story often associated, Borden says that in response, he wrote two words in the back of his Bible: no reserves. I think if I remember listening to one of the videos, when William Borden surrendered himself to full-time ministry, he wanted to be a missionary, that his father took away the inheritance from him because of the foolish decision, humanly speaking, that he's doing to give up his job, give up his wealthy inheritance to be a missionary. But he wrote the words, no reserves. Even though young Borden was wealthy, he arrived on campus of Yale University in 1905 trying to look like just one more freshman. Very quickly, however, Borden's classmates noticed something unusual about him, and it wasn't that he had lots of money. One of them wrote, "He came to college far ahead spiritually of any of us. He had already given his heart in full surrender to Christ and had really done it. We who were his classmates learned to lean on him and find in him a strength that was solid as a rock just because of this settled purpose and consecration. During his college years, Bill Borden made an entry in his personal journal that defined what his classmates were seeing in him. The entry said simply, "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." And then I'm going to just skip down a little bit later. Moving ahead, upon graduation from Yale, Borden turned down some high-paying job offers. It has been reported that in his Bible, Bill Borden wrote two more words, "No retreats." Even though he had a successful college career influencing many Christians, such as doing a Bible study and a time of prayer where it grew up to 1,000 students by the time of his senior year, and made a huge influence, and then he was given a high-paying job he turned down because he knew and he was pressing his heart that God is still calling him to be in the missionary. And he wrote the words, "No retreats." William Borden went on to do graduate work at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey. When he finished his studies at Princeton, he sailed for China because he was hoping to work with Muslims. He stopped first in Egypt to study Arabic. While there, he contracted spinal meningitis. Within a month, 25-year-old William Borden was dead. When the news of William Whiting Borden's death was cabled back to the U.S., the story was carried by nearly every American newspaper. A wave of sorrow went round the world. Borden not only gave away his wealth, but himself in a way so joyous and natural that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice, wrote Mary Taylor in her introduction to his biography. Was Borden's untimely death a waste? Not in God's perspective. As the story has it, prior to his death, Borden has written two more words in the back of his Bible. Underneath the words, "No reserves and no regrets," he is reported to have written. Oh, let me read it again. Underneath the words, "No reserves and no retreats," he is reported to have written, "No regrets." Even though he gave up his earthly inheritance, he was willing to be a missionary and sacrifice his life for God because he knew that there is an inheritance that is greater than the earth, and that is in heaven, Christ's riches. As I just want to close, as you follow Christ, Moses gave up the riches in Egypt to suffer his people for a season in the affliction because he knew that the riches of Christ is far greater. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto recompense of the reward." He knew that the sufferings that he had to go through in Egypt and then delivering them out and then hearing the people complaining against Moses to leave Egypt to go into this long trail to the promised land, which they didn't believe that they would ever make it. Moses chose to follow God all the way because he knew that the riches of Christ is far greater. And I hope that you will make the right decision, knowing God's desire, and through your obedience, through your emptiness, and through your surrender, that you will follow Christ. Every head bow, every eye closed. Make sure your eyes are closed. I want to just ask a question, and this is just one question, and I'm not asking you to go to the altar unless God is leading you to do it after. But let me ask you, by raising your hand honestly before God, if God asks you, "Will you follow me?" Raise your hand. If you ask, "If God, I will follow you," raise your hand. Okay, I can see those hands. You can put their hands down. All right, let me close in a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for those who have raised their hands that is choosing themselves to follow you and willing to follow you. And I pray that you would just bless them and help them make a commitment. And even those that have not raised their hands, I thank you for their honesty. I pray that you would do something in a way that you would reach out to them. Bless the rest of the service, and may you be glorified in Christ's name. Amen.